Okay, tonight we're looking at John chapter 10. And it's a very interesting chapter. You'll see why before too very long. I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus said again, "I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man, since he's not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he's a hired man and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be a flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I'm laying down my life so I can take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down. I have the right to take it up again. I've received this command from my Father." Again, a division took place amongst the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and he's crazy. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These aren't the words of someone demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple complex in Solomon's colonnade. Then the Jews surrounded him and asked, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." "I did tell you, and you didn't believe," Jesus answered them. "The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who's given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Again, the Jews picked up rocks to stone him. Jesus replied, "I've shown you many good works from the Father. Which of these works are you stoning me for?" "We aren't stoning you for a good work," the Jews answered, "but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Isn't it written in your scripture, 'I said you are gods'? If he called those whom the word of God came to gods, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say you are blaspheming to the one the Father set apart and sent into the world because he said, 'I am the Son of God'? If I'm not doing my Father's work, don't believe me. But if I am doing them and you don't believe me, believe the works. This way you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Then they were trying again to seize him, yet he eluded their grasp. So he departed again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing earlier. And he remained there. Many came to him and said, John never did a sign, but everything John said about this man was true, and many believed in him there. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us in all we do. Help us to be good servants. Help us to be your sheep and to follow you as our shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, leaders are shepherds, or should be. Those who sneak in and try to take over are not the shepherd. They're crooks. Now, a Middle Eastern shepherd is different than a Western Hemisphere shepherd. You often see the Scottish and the Irish shepherds and their sheep, and there will be sheepdogs, and the sheepdogs will go alongside them. And of course, the sheep love the dogs. Even though the dogs are barking at them and everything, they love them because they know these dogs are here to protect us. But they keep the sheep going where the shepherd wants them to go, and the shepherd's behind them. A Middle Eastern shepherd is not like that. A Middle Eastern shepherd gets to know each of his sheep individually, and they know him. And so they have these big areas where you can bring in everybody's sheep, and they'll stay for the night or for however long, whatever. And then when the shepherd comes, he goes to the gatekeeper and he says, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, you know me." And he says, "Okay," and he opens the door. But the shepherd doesn't actually go in. He calls to the sheep, and then he backs up. And the sheep come out, but only the ones that belong to him. Because the sheep that don't belong to him know another shepherd's name, and they're not going to him. Or another shepherd's voice, and they're not going to him. So then he takes them off. Now, Jesus explains about all this, but they didn't get it. This is kind of a hard thing to understand. So he explains it again. And he says, he is the shepherd, so he has access to the sheep. When he comes to get his sheep, the gatekeeper will let him have them, because he knows that he is the actual shepherd. They know his voice by the Spirit, so they follow him. And this is something that we need to really come to understand. We need to understand when it's Jesus and when it's not. We get leadings. And we used to have a thing about this place that Jeremiah used to go. Strangely enough, was a Four Square church. But they were all caught up in leadings. The Lord is leading me. The Lord is, you know. But they were amazed that Jeremiah knew so much about the Bible. They really didn't know the Bible. They knew what God was leading them to do. And so they would get a leading, and then they would go tracing through the Bible, trying to find something that proved what they're being led to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying these are bad people. God may have been leading them. But what I'm saying is they ought to know the Word of God better so that they would not ever be misled. Once he got them separated from the others that were not of the flock, he took them out into the pasture. Now, the pasture is the place where they go and they have food and they can bed down at night, and he'll make a fire and the sheep will all get close around the fire and so on. And he may have a sheep dog, not to lead the sheep, but to make sure that any bad things that come, that the sheep dog will know it first. But he takes good care of them. It was dangerous at night, but the good shepherd protects the sheep with his very life. Others don't care about the sheep, and they don't protect them, because even if they lose them, that's not my sheep anyway. I'm not going to get anything out of this. Maybe I get some money that I'm being paid as a hired hand, but it's not enough to go up against a wolf or thieves or who knows what. And then it talks about, I have other sheep that you don't know about. This is something that you may sometimes hear the Mormons say. They were the ones who had gone off to the North American continent and all this, and they have all this stuff in the Book of Mormon. That's not what this is about. What this is about is the fact that Jesus, at this point, is only preaching to the Jews. He's only preaching to common people, Israelis. He's not preaching to Gentiles. But there are other sheep, the Gentiles, that are going to come in later on. And that's what this is all about. So after he's had all of this explanation, comes the Feast of Dedication. Now, the Feast of Dedication is actually Hanukkah. We often talk about it as the Feast of Lights, because what it's about is that they had besieged the temple and they didn't have enough oil to keep the lights burning, and they couldn't go get more. So God said, don't worry, the lights will not go off for all the days that you're in here. And so for 8 nights, the lights burned, even though there was nowhere near that much oil to keep them burning. The Jewish leaders close in on Jesus while he's in the temple, and they ask him to declare himself to be the Christ. Now they figure, if he says, I am the Christ, if he just comes right out with this, then we got him. Because they can then go back and they can get scriptures from the Old Testament and take it to the Romans and say, okay, he says he's the Christ. Here's what the Christ is. So if he's the Christ, then he's coming for you. Of course, none of those scriptures would be out of Isaiah 53 or some of the other ones that talk about the suffering servant that came to give his life to allow us to be justified with God. Jesus answers the same way he did with John's disciples. What do you see? What am I doing? And then he lists off the same stuff right out of Isaiah. When the guy comes and he says he's called the servant, which they interpret to be the Christ, that he'll open the eyes of the blind, he'll give people speech that were dumb, he'll heal cripples, and he'll preach good news. And it's like, you should see my works and you should know. I've already told you, yes, I'm him, if you just want me to come right out with it. But look at what I'm doing. The miracles prove it. The miracles show that he is the one they're waiting for. But they don't want him, because they would then lose power. He would then be in charge. And they don't like him, and they don't want him in charge. Okay? They won't believe because they're not his sheep. And they don't want to be. His flock believe him, because they know him. We said, why do the common people love him? Because he's not giving them 608 commandments to try to live up to. so that they have no time to do anything but try to keep these silly commandments. He comes to them and he says, God loves you. Okay? I'm here to tell you how much God loves you. All he wants from you is for you to love him. And if you do, then all you have to do is put your faith in the one he sent to you, that'd be me, and you will be saved. God gave them to him, and no one can take them away. This is where we get our doctrine of eternal security. When you give your life to Christ, if you honestly and truly give your life to Christ, no joke, not just saying it, you give your heart and soul to Jesus. God puts you in Jesus' hand, and nobody can take you out. Now, there's been some question people have asked me, well, what if you want to jump out? And I said, okay, well, to me, it's an affirmative, honest decision to come to Jesus Christ. And so it has to be an affirmative, informed, and honest decision to not be with Jesus Christ.
It's that free will then.
And knowing what you're going to get when you give up Jesus, I'm thinking he may give you, you know, an insanity descent so that you get out of it. I don't know. But so they want to stone him. And he says, for what? What good deed have I done that you want to stone me for? And they say, no, we want to stone you because you are blaspheming. And he goes, I'm not blaspheming. I'm telling you the truth, and you just don't want to hear it. So then he goes across the Jordan, and the people flock across the Jordan to follow him because they like him way better than the Jewish leaders. And the people who were there when John had been there say, look, John never did anything, no big signs or anything. He just talked to us. But everything he told us about this man was the truth. And so he must have been a prophet and known that this is the guy. When he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he knew what he was talking about. So what does this mean to us? For Jesus to be your shepherd, the Spirit must call you. This is the thing that a lot of people have a hard problem with. You do not lead people to Jesus. You tell them about Jesus. The Holy Spirit leads people to Jesus. You have people who have been told about Jesus hundreds of times, and they blow it off. And then one day, they get told about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them. And suddenly, they discovered that giant hole that's been in their heart the whole freaking time. And they say, I need this. I always explain it about me because I was 4 years old when I came to Jesus. And I felt like I was the worst sinner in the history of the world. Now, how bad a sinner can you be at 4 years old? But it felt like that it was terrible. And the worst part was, I had always felt the presence of Jesus and he was gone. And I'm going, what happened? And my grandmother explained it all to me. And I gave my life to Jesus and said, please come back. I want you in my life forever. And he was back. And all of a sudden, I didn't feel like a sinner anymore because I knew Jesus had taken all of my tiny little sins away. Little did I know that I was going to be a teenager at some point, and there was going to be some good stuff for him to have to forgive. When he's your shepherd, he takes good care of you. Devil's tried to kill me many times. So far, he's 0 for all those many times. Okay. He put me on the ground, and the people who were following me said, "We knew we were going to pick you up dead. There was no doubt when we saw you bouncing down the road." I said, the thing I was most afraid of was that that bike was coming out of the barrier and was going to run right over me. I figured I'd have been in bad shape if that happened. Never moved. It was like that angel sitting there holding it on that barrier, tore it to bits. I bounced down the road, wound up the worst thing, the absolute worst thing, was I cut a groove in my finger. And it was bleeding like a stuck pig. And everybody thought I was dying because there was blood everywhere. And I'm going, get me something to... And so they wiped it all off and they put it on. And they go, and it's raining. And all of a sudden, all the blood's gone. And they're going, what happened? And I said, that's all there was. That's where that blood was all coming from. And now you've got a bandage. Okay. I had some pretty bad bruises, Pat will tell you. I had road rash that you can still see some of it on my arms. But the bottom line was, devil didn't get me. And not only that, but there were dozens of witnesses all around. And a guy who went and stopped the woman who did it and said, if you don't go back, I have your license plate. I'll tell this to the cops. So I got a brand new Road King out of it. Anyway, if Jesus is your shepherd, he takes really good care of you. If you're not his, then you need to give him a try. I have told this to people. You need to try Jesus. If you don't like him, the devil will always take you back. Okay? So, Mommy Kittens, you want to close this in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us your word, for giving us your son, Jesus. Father, I just want everyone to know your son, Jesus. If you're listening to this sermon tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus, it is not hard to do. You just need to give your life to him, and you can pray just as I'm going to pray now, and you can pray with me, you can pray out loud, or you can pray to yourself. You just say, "Dear Jesus, I know that you are God's Son, and that you came into this world to die for my sins, and you rose again, and you're sitting with your Father God in heaven. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I ask that you would take my life, and let me give my life to you. And I ask for you to be my Lord and my Savior forever. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen." Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Please join us again next week.
Amen. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi,
Mom.
Did it turn
into a...